The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. It's now time to return to the April 2021 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is Art in the Great Wide Open. 8 towns to tour sculptures under the sky. It says starts on page 100, so that's exactly where we're going to start. We're going to read about a bunch of these towns. I don't know how many we'll get through today, but let's just get going. Art in the Great Wide Open. North Carolina's downtowns, fertile fields, and blue skies provide the perfect canvases for outdoor art. This month, as spring nudges us outside, let us take you on a tour of public exhibits in 8 cities from Mount Airy to Wilmington. We're going to, well, I don't know if we're going to get them all, but just if you're wondering where they all are, Natural Embrace in Fayetteville, the Whittling Wall in Mount Airy, Steel Sculptures in Greenville, Rodin Garden in Raleigh, the Bottle Chapel in Wilmington, where we met in Greensboro, Metamorphosis, the Firebird, in Charlotte, and Whirligig Park in Wilson. We're going to start with Natural Embrace in Fayetteville. Planted here, a towering, whimsical Venus flytrap may seem out of place in a military community, but this sculpture has found a home among soldiers putting down roots in the sandhills. Written by Eleanor Spicer Rice. I'll describe the 2-page spread in just a moment, but here's what it says about it. The community fell in love with Natural Embrace when it was part of a downtown-wide temporary exhibit. In 2018, the glass and steel sculpture found a permanent home on Person Street Square. So the way the picture is taken and the lighting is such as that I can't describe completely the metal sculpture because it just appears to be black metal here. It might be a different color, but the because the rest of it's so bright, it could have been, just dark. Show up here is dark. The sculpture at the top of the sculpture, at the top of the metal portion, which, as I say, appears to be black and has 2 little wings out to the side, not particularly wide, is holding 2 large pieces of glass. And each of those pieces of glass is supposed to be, in my opinion of looking at it, because it says whimsical Venus flytrap, it looks like a Venus flytrap. If you've ever seen a Venus flytrap, it's like a big piece of lettuce with a bunch of little things sticking out at the end of it, almost, not tentacles, but almost like a wave running up on a beach or whatever, periodically along the edge. And that's what we see here. We see a rough outside edge, which has little bumps on it, coming off to these tendrils at the end, which just aim up skyward and don't have a lot of color in them. They look very clear against the sky. You can see a few little bubbles in the making of the glass. And the body of the Venus flytrap, the big part that claps together like a hand, because it is kind of like a palm with lots of little fingers on it, is a green and yellow color. There are 2 of them shown here, and yet between them there is another curved piece of metal going skyward out of the view, so I would anticipate that way up high there was one more of these Venus flytraps. And when we turn the page, we see lots of Venus flytraps. I see five of them in this picture on these curvy pieces of metal, which are more gray here, steel gray, than they are black, as I said on the other page. And they're all wide open, waiting for a fly to land. Standing 16 feet tall, with translucent green glass jaws stretching toward the heavens, the Venus flytraps that compose Natural Embrace seem ever on the lookout for their next meal. The Venus flytrap is an improbable plant. About the same size as a violet, it grows in loamy soil that would kill most other species. It eats ants, spiders, grasshoppers, and anything else unlucky enough to crawl between its jaws, but never the creatures that pollinate the white-petaled blooms that emerge on tender green stems from a nest of thumbnail-sized open mouths. With formidable pink maws formed from delicate leaves, the Venus flytrap grows only in a tiny pocket of the planet. Fewer than a dozen North Carolina counties and a sliver of South Carolina. Fayetteville is one of the places where it thrives. Maybe that's why when Paul Hill's towering fly trap sculpture came to visit downtown as part of the city's rotating Works in Progress public art initiative, the locals fell in love. Perhaps they recognized their community in the plant's fortitude. Or maybe it's scrappiness. Either way, it was a people's choice favorite. Waiting to greet shoppers making their way to Fayetteville's historic downtown, the sculpture's glass jaws poise open atop five long steel stems. The heads bow in every direction from the Person Street Plaza, each sharing a toothy, hopeful grin. One of a dozen or so sculptures that cycle through Fayetteville's downtown every year, Hill's Natural Embrace was destined to ship out at the end of 2018. Instead, residents banded together to keep it stationed at the historic courthouse. Fayetteville folks called their grassroots campaign, "Help Me Stay Planted Here." They needed $20,000 to keep the sculpture. They ultimately raised more than $26,000. The Arts Council matched the citizens' funds, and Natural Embrace found its forever home. Though one of North Carolina's oldest cities, Fayetteville is home to many new residents, families that come here to work and live at Fort Bragg Army Base. Hill also came to North Carolina from somewhere else. Originally from Tyler, Texas, he moved to Wrightsville Beach to practice his art almost 30 years ago. "A job pulled me here initially," Hill says. A friend wanted him to paint graphics around his surf and sail shop. Once Hill got here, he realized that North Carolina felt like home. "North Carolina expanded my art," he says. "It's given me more freedom of mind. I feel good being here, and I think this reflects in my art." This sense of autonomy and inventiveness shines through in Hill's current art, industrial but representational steel sculptures. Today, you can spot Hill's sculptures across the state, in homes, town centers, and airports. In Wilmington, where he lives, a second flytrap sculpture, Southern Hospitality, snaps its glass jaws at the downtown sky. In Fayetteville, some will remember his hopeful, for no apparent reason, goat that peered from its perch atop a slender 16-foot curve on the corner of Hay and St. Maxwell Streets. His sleek courage piece at the North Carolina Veterans Park that was constructed from recycled military equipment. Hill builds his animal sculptures like one would build a living being complete with skeleton, organs, and flesh. To construct Natural Embrace, he started with an armature made of steel. Then he sketched the flytrap shapes on paper and cut them out of steel, like a dressmaker cutting fabric. In this case, the dress would become the sculpture's skin. While real flytraps only poke their jaws a few inches above the dirt, Natural Embrace's five hand-formed steel stems grow up to 16 feet tall. Instead of using steel for the mouth leaves, Hill topped Natural Embrace with green glass. "I made a mold for the jaws, and an artist named Stan Harmon in Moorhead City poured glass to create the fly traps for me, he explains. These traps capture sunshine instead of insects. The fly traps look so proud, and when you see them catch the setting sun through them, it's just lovely. Venus flytraps thrive from fire. They grow best in places that burn every now and then, and where life they held helps rebuild the nature of their homes. Fayetteville, too, seems to bloom from destruction. The place was settled by Scots, burned to the ground, and then rebuilt, only to have Sherman trample in. In his march southward, Fort Bragg grew in farmers' fields from the overseas devastation of World War I, and it continues to grow alongside Fayetteville, which always manages to come back to take roots where roots seem impossible. Flytraps can grow in this small patch of the planet because this is the singular place on Earth where conditions are just right for the small plant to need jaws. Fertile soils that would allow other plants to flourish would kill a Venus flytrap. Accustomed to austerity, their jaws snag the nourishment they need. They have adapted to the most specific of conditions. Our bogs and combustible forests, our muggy summer days, and our abundant insects. In doing so, they have become uniquely ours, like Fayetteville, shaped by circumstance with a strange strength that comes from fragility. Natural Embrace can be seen at the corner of Otis Jones Parkway and Person Street in Fayetteville. And you're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Very interesting pictures on this page here. The Whittling Wall in Mount Airy. Down to Earth. A brick sculpture stretches across a downtown block in the rolling hills of Surrey County, paying homage to a few of the everyday people who built America's favorite small town. Written by Eddie Huffman. Depicted with microphone in hand, the legendary Mount Airy radio host Ralph Epperson sits on the Whittling Wall alongside two of Surrey County's old-time pickers and grinners. So what's interesting about this is that we're looking at a trio of men sitting on a bench in front of a stone wall that is made of fairly light-colored red bricks, and of course there's mortar between the bricks. As we look at the statuary of the men that are sitting here, and I don't know how they're really made, but the brick pattern of the mortar continues along at the spots where you would expect them to be. It's as if, and maybe it will tell us in the article, they were actually made of bricks and then carved. And that's what they look like. But you've got detail here. You've got the men's hair. You've got glasses on them, their nose, their lips, their mouths are open. The gentleman on the right, Ralph Epperson, is holding a microphone that says WPAQ. And one of the men is playing his fiddle. And the other one is strumming it's a banjo is probably what it is. And there are similar pictures on the next two pages, the whittler, the mill worker, and a close-up of Ralph. And they really do look like they're made of bricks. And the picture of the mill worker actually has a sewing machine, again, all made of brick, or appears to be made of brick, and the fabric that this woman is sewing. And there's a little plaque beside her which explains the artwork. Let's see what the article has to say. Kelly Epperson and his dad, Ralph, face each other across a short span of Mount Airy sidewalk. Ralph died 15 years ago, but a statue on a downtown street resurrects the local radio personality in brick, capturing him in his element. In his left hand, he holds a microphone to WPAQ, the station that sent live music out to the world since the 1940s, presenting North Carolina folk and bluegrass legends like Doc Watson and Earl Scruggs, as well as recordings by Mount Airy native Andy Griffith. Ralph is one of eight characters depicted on the Whittler's Wall, an ambitious outdoor sculpture that commemorates some of Surrey County's everyday folk heroes. Other people immortalized on the whittling wall made sewing machines hum and fiddles cry. One imparted wisdom to generations of black schoolchildren, while another kept townspeople well-dressed in the finest tailored suits. One chewed tobacco, ran his mouth, and whittled sticks with a pocket knife. When the light's just right, you can almost see the wood shavings and tobacco juice. Ralph shares his nook on the wall with a couple of Surrey County old-time musicians from the nearby rolling hills that stretch from the Soratown Mountains north of Winston-Salem to the east edge of the Blue Ridge Mountains. This is the heartbeat of old-time music in this area, Kelly says, nodding to the sculptured trio in front of him. The whittling wall rolls down Oak Street from Mount Airy's central business district, which caps a ridge above the Ararat River. The soul of a city materializes in the brickwork, a mix of real people and archetypes that celebrate a past steeped in music and millwork and a present in which tourists flock to the bustling downtown in search of the mythical Mayberry of 1960s television sitcom The Andy Griffith Show. But while Mount Airy has long capitalized on Griffith's show, the whittling wall looks beyond TV nostalgia to reveal a broader, more authentic view of the town. When I was growing up here, there wasn't much public art to be found, says Lizzie Morrison, a painter with an art degree from Auburn University, who also happens to be the Main Street Coordinator for Mount Airy Downtown Incorporated. I hope that this art in our shared spaces encourages creative people to lean on their talent. It's easy for young people to feel especially small in this chaotic world when they live in rural America. Morrison is one of two artists who put their heads together to build the wall. The other is Brad Spencer, a nationally renowned sculptor who crafted the Whittling Wall's human figures in his Reidsville studio before laying the bricks and mortar on site. Spencer's portfolio also includes a Doc and Merle Watson wall at Wilkes Community College in Wilkesboro, as well as projects in other cities across the country. Morrison's organization couldn't afford to hire the artist immediately, so she worked on raising funds, eventually landing a $94,340 downtown revitalization grant from the North Carolina Department of Commerce. She assumed the city commissioners would insist on investing in something practical like parking, but we pitched this project to them, and they said, let's do it. The concept evolved over time. Some residents wanted Mayberry characters on the wall. That idea was scrapped in favor of real people. What I love about this is that it captures the essence of the people of Mount Airy as a whole, especially having the mill workers on there, because this represents so many people, hardworking people who cared about their community, Morrison says. Even Griffith made it clear that his hometown was not Mayberry. Real towns have real problems that must be dealt with, the actor said. All of Mayberry's problems are solved in a half an hour. Some of the larger-than-life figures on the Whittling Wall represent those real struggles. L.H. Jones served as principal of Mount Airy's black high school before integration. The unnamed mill worker embodies a manufacturing industry that has largely disappeared. Other figures honor people who contributed to the city's economy, like Floyd Flip Rees, who opened a clothing store in downtown Mount Airy shortly after World War II ended. The only living person depicted on the wall is singer Donna Fargo, who scored big hits on country and pop radio in the 1970s, including The Happiest Girl in the Whole USA and Funny Face. She sits in a casual pose, picking a guitar, her legs stretched out in front of her. And here we see that picture right up above, exactly as the article described it. Fargo and other characters immortalized in the Whittling Wall began life in Spencer's studio, where he creates small models before carving the clay solids that become his trademark brick figures. I tell North Carolina stories using North Carolina dirt, the artist says. I'm fascinated by the fact that eroded rocks can be modeled or molded and then essentially turned back into rock by the firing process. The fact that the very earth we walk on can be transformed into a living or lasting thing, rather, of beauty and utility astounds me. Spencer and his team worked on and off for about 3 weeks to install the figures in early 2018. He says he makes no effort to sell or rather veil his public sculptures while they're in progress. People watching it go up is part of the excitement, he says. Locals would stop by and photograph him as he worked or chat with him about the figures. Spencer met relatives of the musicians on the Wilting Wall and people who had worked in the Mount Airy Mills. Those are the projects that I really gravitate toward, he says. Projects that only make sense where they are, that wouldn't make sense anywhere else, but become part of the fabric of that community. After spending some time communing with the eight historic strands of that fabric on the Wilting Wall, it's time for Kelly Epperson to get back to the work of the present. He walks away, leaving his father enshrined with his old-time companions, and heads back over to WPAQ to keep the music going for a new generation of people, everyday people, in Mount Airy. The Wilting Wall is on West Oak Street in Mount Airy. And lastly, we'll see how far we can get in this. I hope we finish it. Steel sculptures in Greenville Animal Farm. Herds of steel horses and other beasts with tails, manes, trunks, and humps of silver and rust have taken over the sidewalks and vacant lots in this eastern North Carolina college town, written by Kim Grizzard. The sight of life-size steel horses, pigs, and cattle on a grassy patch along Dickinson Avenue might suggest that Greenville is a place that has put artistry out to pasture. But the sheer size of this herd, which also includes deer, a camel, a giraffe, and an elephant, is a testament that public art in this eastern North Carolina college town is advancing, not withdrawing. Sculptor Jonathan Bowling's assemblage of inanimate animals have helped breathe life into the downtown streets near the campus of East Carolina University. Since the early 2000s, Bowling's signature steel horses, along with other beasts that he's been building for more than two decades, have outgrown his gallery space and galloped onto the city's sidewalks and distant vacant spots, its alleyways and parking lots. The artist's dogs, birds, jellyfish, turtles, and an alligator greet passerbys outside the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Greenville. His goats congregate near the underpass of the Dr. Andrew A. Best Bridge. But why has Bowling consigned himself to creating life-size creatures? I don't have a good answer for that, he says, except I'm around them. He's talking about the area outside of his workshop in rural Pitt County, where more than a dozen real-life goats, cats, and chickens wander about, grazing, hunting, and clucking. Really, it's part about being able to sell the works. Plus, with four legs, they're a lot more stable. Whatever his reasons, Bowling's rust-colored creations have become fixtures in a community that is said to bleed ECU's purple and gold. His wind-up toy, a larger-than-life horse on wheels, is parked in front of the Pitt Greenville Airport, and other pieces have worked their way into magazine spreads and promotional videos. It's very unique to Greenville, says Holly Garriott, executive director of the nonprofit Pitt County Arts Council at Emerge. Though through his art, he has given Greenville a creative visual identity. Bowling had no intention of hitching his wagon to Greenville when he came to ECU in 1996 to pursue a master's degree in sculpture, but the former Kentucky farm boy, who spent his childhood making things that he didn't recognize as art, ended up cultivating deep roots in North Carolina. When I got out of grad school, Bowling says, I didn't really want to get a 9-to-5 job. Instead, after some time spent working out of a garage, he leased a studio space on what was then a nearly deserted Dickinson Avenue on the west side of town. The roof leaked, the floors were nearly rotten. He wasn't sure it would work. I said, I'm looking for somewhere to weld. I'd burn this place down, he recalls telling the landlord. And he said, I can work with that. What's kept Bowling here, he says, only half-jokingly, is inertia. The thought of moving all of his art and tools was just too overwhelming. Earlier in Bowling's career, though, it would have been easier for him to pick up and go. He'd spent years making smaller metal fish, hammering out schools of them to sell to families, decorating their beach houses or displaying them as Christian symbols on the wall of their homes. Then, as now, Bowling's welded works of art came from found objects, many gathered on daily trips to a local scrapyard in search of steel and other useful materials. His workshop, relocated from downtown to a giant piece of swampy land near Pactolus, contains a collection of discarded pitchforks and shovels, golf clubs, and transmission parts. While Bowling's graduate school thesis explored recycling culture, his repurposing of discarded materials is not necessarily intended to make an environmental statement. I started working with found materials because that's the only thing I had to work with. It's what I could find, he said. I'm not positive that somebody wants to buy a giant flower entirely made of pitchforks, but I had all those pitchforks. It looks cool. It's also therapeutic. I'm all over the place, he says, but making things allows me to sort of bring it all together. After 10 years of peddling forged fish and other works up and down the East Coast, Bowling won a competition with a trio of his horse sculptures, allowing him to meld his agrarian past with his current artistic pursuits. With a budget for an assistant, he was able to make more of the larger steel sculptures. As he worked to weld additional horses, some lowered their heads to graze, others trotting with manes that appeared to blow in the wind, the steel creatures began to take off beyond Greenville, finding homes among public art displays in Fayetteville, Greensboro, Hillsboro, Rocky Mount, and Statesville. But nowhere is the prolific nature of Bowling's work more visible than in Greenville, where his marvels of metalwork, from the seahorse to a centaur, a donkey to Don Quixote, sometimes seem to appear overnight on unused lots, like the one along Atlantic Avenue at the former site of the Imperial Tobacco Warehouse. Within the next year or so, that warehouse property is planned to become a boutique hotel and residences, meaning Bowling's animals will be displaced. But no one should have to travel far to find his sculptures. Works of his that are currently placed throughout the center of the city will be part of the Emerald Loop and urban art trail being developed around Greenville's cultural amenities. In addition, plans exist to corral dozens of Bowling's sculptures from the Imperial site into a sculpture garden to ensure that his public art remains in the public eye. Public art is a community equalizer. I think that is one of the greatest things about it, Garriott says, adding that some of Bowling's works, which will be situated along an extension of Greenville Greenway, will help create a sense of place for community. Passing bike riders and dog walkers may be captivated by and somewhat curious about the meaning of this menagerie. The artist himself has no complicated answers. I'm not trying to make any big statement, Bowling says. I remember in college there was one art professor who would basically challenge all of the artists with the idea of how are you making the world a better place with your art? It's a very real question. For some people, the purpose of their art is to educate people, and that's awesome. But it's not Bowling. Flowers are pretty is a perfectly acceptable purpose. Jonathan Bowling's steel sculptures, 81 Dickinson Avenue in Greenville. And that, my friends, is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen in next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They could be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, and on iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.